Okay, we're reading from Acts chapter 28, starting from verse 14. I'll just give you a minute to find that in your Bibles or apps. Okay, Acts 28 from verse 14 through to the end of the chapter. There we found some brothers who invited us to spend a week with them, and so we came to Rome. The brothers there had heard that we were coming, and they travelled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. At the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. 3 days later, he called together the leaders of the Jews. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. But when the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had any charge to bring against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of the brothers who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect." They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God, and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement: "The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen." For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Keep your Bibles open there to Acts 28, and let's talk to God in prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your care of us, your children. Thank you for the hope of Easter, that in Christ we can know the newness of life and resurrection hope. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, famous last words can be profound as we move off the stage of life. Here are some that I read during the week. Steve Jobs from Apple is recorded of saying, "Oh, wow, wow, wow." Now, if you're an Apple person, you kind of think, was he onto something? What was the next Apple product? The Apple car, the Apple hoverboard, perhaps the Apple robot to fix all your DIY disasters over the Easter weekend. Winston Churchill is recorded as saying, "I'm bored with it all." Or Nostradamus, who predicted, "Tomorrow at sunrise I shall no longer be here." He was right. Today at Southern Cross and Southern Cross Ganalabar, we hear the Apostle Paul's last words in the book of Acts. Not the final words that he ever uttered in this life, but words that reveal what was on his heart, and words that reveal what is at the heart of his message. And that is the message and the hope of Easter. So we're going to turn very briefly to the closing verses of Acts 28, and the book itself will close, as Gav read from today. And we're just going to discover what sort of relevance did Paul's words there in Acts 28 have for us on this Easter Sunday morning. Well, by the time we heard Paul's words there in Acts 28, he's made it to Rome. Here on Good Friday, we heard some of Paul's appeal before the governor of Judea, Felix, and King Agrippa in Caesarea. But today we hear Paul's words, not to Caesar in Rome, but to some Jewish leaders in Rome. So this is from verse 28. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles and they will listen. In keeping, if you've been with us here at Southern Cross, across Term 1, we've seen as Paul's gone through Acts and moved across the Mediterranean, Paul tries to get a hearing firstly from the Jews, but when they turn their backs, as they do here in Rome, he turns instead toward the Gentiles. Now, a couple of weeks ago, you may remember, if you're with us at Southern Cross, the Greek word for Gentiles is ethnos, okay? So think ethic or ethnicity or nationality or nations. So Paul's famous last words here in Acts are, "Now I'm in the center of the known world, Rome. My final words are, I'm going to the nations." What is he going to the nations to do? He's going to make known God's salvation. And you might ask, well, what does he mean? Saving from what? Well, it is the Easter message. Because I know no one who has risen from the grave except Jesus on the first Easter. Jesus leaps from the grave as the conqueror of death. Now that is true for no one else. When we say someone is dead and buried, it is a sign they will never act again. We don't expect someone who has died to come back again. What Jesus did by rising from the grave and conquering death is totally unprecedented. And it makes him uniquely qualified to take us through death. Now, we want someone qualified, don't we? That is why we look for a tradesman you can trust. You want to make sure if your toilet is blocked over the Easter weekend, you're going to get a plumber who is qualified to clear it. And even more so, if your life is on the line and your artery is blocked, you want a qualified cardiologist to clear the blockage. Because the failure here is a life and death situation. Now, you might say the whole plumbing incident over the Easter weekend is a bit of a life and death situation as well. But as Paul reaches Rome here, he is adamant to make God's salvation known. He wants people across the world, all nations, to know it too. So in one of Paul's letters, he spells it out with great clarity. This is a message that he speaks to the believers in the Greek city Corinth. This is from chapter 15. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, what you received and which you've taken your stand on. By this gospel you were saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you've believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. He appeared to Cephas, that's the Apostle Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. He appeared to James and to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me as to one abnormally born. What Paul means by that is he never met Jesus in person. He had an experience on a road to Damascus where Jesus appeared before him in a vision. He keeps going, this is Paul, "For I'm the least of the apostles and do not deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." What he was doing is when he was going to Damascus, he was trying to go and lynch believers in Christ. He goes on, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was within me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preached. And this is what you believed." What's Paul's message of salvation that he wants the nations to know? His final words in the book of Acts is the message of Easter. He's saying Jesus died, was buried, and he rose on Easter Sunday morning. Now that is the message Paul wants Rome, he wants the world, and he wants you to know. It just depends, are you listening? Now, maybe you've heard this message when you were a child, you went through scripture or something like that, or each year you might come along to an Easter celebration like this one that we're doing today. But really, you know, it's all just a bit of a joke. Because no one rises from the dead, and you laugh it off as some April Fool's joke. And yet, the Apostle Paul actually agrees with you. He says, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, you really are completely bonkers. This is what he says. He just finished saying that stuff to these guys in Corinth, and this is him keeping going from verse 12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is our faith. More than that, we're found to be false witnesses about God, for we've testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But if he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who are asleep, he's talking about those who have died, in Christ are lost. If only in this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. If Jesus didn't rise on the first Easter, then you really need to take pity on Christians, because their faith is futile. The whole Good Friday thing is completely bogus. They're stuck in their sins. Paul's final words don't matter. He's wasting his breath. He's a fool. Now, some people have described people with faith as a thing you do when you run out of information. They say that there can't be evidence for that, so you have to believe it by faith. It's not the Bible's perspective. It's not just that I believe. What counts is whom I believe in. If your electrician, or scarier still, me, offers to help you over, you know, you're doing a little bit of a reno job, and I go, look, I can help you with it. Just hold these two exposed wires for a minute. I say to you, don't worry, the power's not on. You may believe me, but that belief may not be worth a cent if I'm lying. Your faith is good. It's just it's totally misplaced. There's nothing wrong with your faith. I'm the one who was wrong, and you should never have trusted me. From the last six chapters of Acts, Paul has been laboring on about the fact Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus, what we read earlier from John 11, he says, I am the resurrection. Whoever believes in me lives even though he dies. The first Easter records Jesus is the only person who's been through death and come out the only other side. So he's the one you can trust with your life. I know nothing about my death. I don't even know when it will happen. I know very little about what eternity looks like, but Jesus knows all about these, and he is the one I trust. I went to a pre-season Super Rugby match at Oaks Oval, and a friend of mine had been playing in the match, and he invited me upstairs to the after party in the Gordon Pavilion with some rugby greats from around the country. As I approached the door, someone stepped in my way and said, are you meant to be here? My friend said, it's okay, he's with me. Work like a charm, I was in. Can you think of anything better than to arrive in eternity with Jesus? And he says, it's okay, he's with me. It always matters who you know. A recommendation from Jesus on the day of your death will be enough. Death will step back and allow us to pass through. Death won't be our jailers, but simply on the door as we pass by. Jesus and Jesus alone has died, rose again, been through death, so he knows the way. He's conquered it, so he has the right to usher you and me through death into eternal life because he rose on that first Easter Sunday morning. The last words we hear from Paul in Acts are that, therefore, I want you to know God's salvation has been sent to the nations and they will listen. A message of salvation that we saw from Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. Paul says, pity Christians, because if Jesus didn't rise, you are a fool. And yet Paul ended in Rome. And at the end of Acts 28 in verse 31, it says he shared the message with all boldness and without hindrance. Paul would go on to be, well, history tells us, Paul would go on to be released from prison. We know from his other letters he would continue proclaiming that message, that Easter message, across the world until his dying breath. Paul was released from his arrest in Rome. He went on to visit Ephesus, Miletus, Troas, Macedonia, and Crete. There's debate whether he made it to the Spaniards in Spain. But our last glimpse of the Apostle Paul comes from his own pen in the letter of 2 Timothy. He's in prison in Rome once more. He's been to one trial, he faces another, and he says he doesn't expect to be delivered from that, and so he awaits execution. The source closest to Paul's death is Clement of Rome, who said the greatest and the most righteous pillars of the church were persecuted and contended unto death. From Clement, we infer that Paul perished under Emperor Nero, and we have no record of Paul's final words. History, though, has captured the final words of the famous preacher and Bishop Hugh Latimer, who in 1555, aged around 80, was burned at the stake in Oxford with the Bishop of London, Nicholas Ridley, under the reign of Bloody Mary. Shouting through the flames, he said, "Be of good comfort, Master Ridley. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out." Paul's words in Acts realigned his commitment to make known to all nations the message of salvation that Jesus offers. And it's an offer that men like Hugh Latimer would die for, to make known across the nation of England. And Southern Cross stands in that same heritage. And we wish the news of salvation through Jesus Christ, through his death for sin and his resurrection on Easter Sunday, we want it to be heard across the streets and the roads of Lismore and Ganalabar. So if you'd like to explore further the Easter message, please speak to a trusted Christian friend or a family member, or make some inquiries about a Christianity Explained course that we'll be running here at Southern Cross in Term 2, starting Friday the 23rd of April. But for now, let's pray, giving thanks that we, or you, are no fool who entrusts your life to Jesus, because Jesus is strong and courageous, and he can carry us through both sin and death, for in him we find salvation. Let's pray. Father, we do want to give you thanks that Jesus' death and resurrection is the proof that he's qualified to take us through sin and death. We're sorry we can think it's a foolish idea that anyone could rise from the dead, and so we're left to deal with guilt and shame that plagues us. So please help us to make the most of the salvation that Easter offers, that we would listen to the invitation and come to experience a fuller life, both in this life and the one to come. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.